What a great song to sing in a moment like this. Raise a hallelujah. We've been raising a few hallelujahs amongst us here, haven't we? It's been pretty good. Hey, well, we just want to welcome you here tonight to Living Waters Christian Centre. So good to have you with us, and it's so good to have you guys here with us. My name's Craig. I'm part of the oversight team here at Living Waters. And you know, it's great to have Colleen Doyle here and Marion Mayle. Now, Colleen and I have known each other for quite a long time. Now, we actually went to Indonesia on a bit of a ministry trip, and I was actually counting up. Do you know, Colleen, I think that was about 20 years ago.
20 years, Craig.
20 years ago, and I don't think I had grey hair back then.
I was young then, too.
Wow. Wouldn't you love to go back 20 years?
Oh, no. It's a great day to live in.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're probably right. Pretty right. But, hey, and you're doing all right, Marion, sorry?
Yeah, doing fine. It's great to be here tonight.
Marion. Goodness. We talked about that, didn't we? Goodness. And what a beautiful day we've had today. Sunshine, still a really lovely Canterbury day.
I'm hoping it lasts.
I'd like it to last too. I think that'd be pretty great. But hey, this is a really amazing opportunity we've got tonight, actually, to get to know Marion. She's an amazing lady of faith. Now, if you don't know Marion, Marion is a real genuine pioneer in the kingdom of God. You've done some things in Fiji that truly are amazing. And what we'd love to do tonight is, Colleen and I, we'd just love to draw some of those stories out of you and really inspire us with faith. Because you're a lady of faith. You've done some things purely on the word of God, and you have seen amazing things happen in your life.
Yes.
So do you reckon we can draw some stories out of this lady?
I reckon Marion Mayle needs to tell her story. So we're going to ask you some questions, and you let it all hang out there, Marion, tonight.
But before we start, Colleen, how did you get to know Marion?
Well, I got an invitation from this lady to go to Fiji, and she said that over many years people kept mentioning my name. And one day she thought, I'm going to invite her, so off I went. And we had instant connection, didn't we?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And I've been back since, and we're good friends now.
Mm. You can kind of tell that we were talking out there, and they were laughing more than talking, so that's quite a good sign, I think.
Yeah.
A good sign. So, hey, we're going to, it's not going to be super long tonight, is it? We're going to keep it quite short, you know, doing this whole live streaming thing. But so we want to get right into it, Marion. And so, Marion, when did you grow up, and when you were growing up, when did you first know the call of God upon your life?
Well, I was 7 years of age, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I knelt down on a big armchair next to my mother and asked Jesus into my heart. So when I did, you know, God's amazing. He speaks to children.
Yeah.
And it was like a video playing in my head. And I saw myself preaching to dark people in the shed. And I told my mother right there that I'm going to be a missionary.
So 7 years old?
Yes.
Seven, wow.
And she said, oh, that's nice. But I knew in my heart, it was more than just seeing it. It was become my story for the future. And even when I was in school, they asked me to, everyone had to stand up, you know, when you're in a class, and what are you going to do when you grow up? I stood up at 8 years of age and I said, I'm going to be a missionary.
Wow, that's incredible, eh?
Hmm.
So we were talking earlier, and you said that you've literally lived your whole life for God.
Yeah.
Wow. So you haven't had to have a time when you walked away from God.
No.
You've lived your whole life for Him, and that's your testimony.
Such a waste of time going away from God.
Yeah.
So many years are wasted. You know, I remember when I first preached in church, and there was a young man next to me who had all the eloquence and everything, and he preached, and it was my turn to preach. I didn't have the eloquence, and straight after he said, I'm going to go into the world, have fun, then before Jesus comes back, I'm going to come back into church.
Yeah.
He's never been back.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah. So for me, total waste of time going into the world. You know, the it's such a great testimony for kids that put their hand in God's hand and never take it out, because, you know, so much can be accomplished.
Powerful, Marion.
It's incredible, eh? Keeping hand of God.
Keeping hand of
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you've lived your whole life for God. You've got an amazing testimony. But so tell us about what you do in Fiji. There'll be people who don't know really what you get up to. So what do you get up to in Fiji?
I'm the founder and CEO of the Northern Christian Training Centre, which is right in the north of Fiji in a place called Lombasa. It's as far away from what the postcard Fiji that everyone imagines Fiji to be like.
Oh, yes, it is.
There is no beaches.
You speak from experience here, Colleen.
It's genuine Fiji.
It's even been referred to as the armpit of Fiji. But God is there. And that's what drew me to the place. Missionaries usually come and go quite, not many come, but many go fast once they've been there. I don't know of too many that have stayed. But the Northern Christian Training Centre started on the 1st of June, 1999. Okay. We started as a Bible school come vocational school. We do practical subjects as well as biblical. People started to come from even as far away as Solomon Islands, Samoa, and other places, as well as Fiji. So that's how we started. Then on the 26th of January 2010, we started a primary school. In 2016, we started junior secondary school. And this year, we've started a kindergarten. So that's it in a nutshell, really.
That's pretty impressive. And that all started from a vision when you were 7 years old as a little girl.
Yes.
Wow. And along the way, you've had sort of progressive visions as well. And would you be able to tell us about the time when you had a vision for the whole of the South Pacific, really?
Wow. Yeah. I was actually in Timaru at the time. And I was wandering around this garden, and God just, I really cannot even tell you if he transported me or it was happening in my head. It was so real. I found myself at the foot of, at the back of our workshop at our on our property, and I started to look, and this massive explosion took place, and something of the magnitude of, you know, Mount Cook started to shake and took off at the back of the workshop. And right up the top, I saw myself, tiny up the top of this massive mountain. And I don't really like heights too much, so I was sort of freaking out at this, thinking, oh, gosh, that's not where I want to be. And God just reassured me that it was very safe there. And the next moment, I found myself in that body, my body, up on top of this mountain, and the mountain turned into a huge tidal wave. And it just took off, this tsunami wave. And the next thing I see, I'm on this incredible force, power force, surfing it along. And the strangest thing was, I felt so safe. I couldn't believe how safe I felt, because this was like a incredible thing for me to be up high for a start, and then to feel so safe. Then the next thing I saw were many, many tidal waves with, if I can say it, little Marians all the way along, all going in to a little islands, like a calm beach. And while this tidal wave was happening, there were many, many half-built grass huts. They weren't formed very well, and they started to explode with the magnitude of this force that was coming. Now, many years ago, every time I would pray for the South Pacific, this terror thing came on me. I couldn't believe it. And I felt the same terror as I'm in this vision. And I'd ask God for years, why do I feel a terror every time I pray?
Yeah. Wow.
And then I'm feeling this same thing in this vision. And then God reassures me that this is a move of God. The terror I had been feeling for years has been what was to come for the South Pacific, that a massive move of God was going to come. And I know God has spoken to not only me, but many, many people. There, I looked up the web the other day. I was told there are 22,000 islands in the South Pacific, in the South Seas.
That's
but on the web it said 25,000.
25,000.
So 250,000. So there's probably a lot inhabited, but there's a move of God coming to the South Pacific, unprecedented. And I know this is a story we're hearing globally. Yeah. It's not just the South Pacific.
Yes,
it's going to be a global thing that's going to happen. We're at the beginning of the harvest time now.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Marion, can we go back to the school? Do you see some of the students that are being educated in Northern Christian Training Center, Christian School now, actually being part of that in the future?
Definitely, definitely. It's been quite amazing. The students that we have as a whole come from very underprivileged backgrounds. Many of them are their first in their family to receive an education. And I'm seeing a supernatural, you know, it says the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth.
Yes.
And I'm seeing a supernatural acceleration in these children that are so underprivileged. Their families don't encourage them in education because many of them have never been to school.
Mm.
Yet we're seeing God move upon them academically and spiritually.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So I see these children definitely being groomed by the Holy Spirit, not us, to get out into the harvest.
So you're really seeing, you're starting to see a society change through what you're doing.
Community change.
Yeah, community, that's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
When I first went to Fiji, I worked amongst the villages. I saw, I actually spoke in 26 churches. I was speaking in 26 churches in our area before, for about 6 years before someone told me that women don't actually speak in churches in Fiji, which I thought was quite cute.
Oh, if anyone can do it, Marion can do it.
So I thought, oh, that's cool. I'm glad I didn't read any of the mission books before I went over. It's time we write our own in this generation, not just read books.
Write our own.
And, what was the question again?
So you're starting to see change in society,
aren't
you?
So I saw changes when we were speaking in different churches. I saw impact when we ran a Bible school.
Right.
But I cannot believe the impact and the absolute changing of societies where these children come from. It's actually changing the whole community where they come from, their villages.
Yeah.
People are telling me now that don't even know our connection with those villages, they cannot believe the change. So children can change a nation.
Absolutely,
wow,
they can.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So Marion, these children who came from a place with no future, no hope, no vision, what do they want to do when they grow up?
It's quite amazing. Now, you can imagine most of their families are either cane cutters when they can get a job. They may be fishermen, that only occasionally they can get work. So they come from this background, but we have an absolutely amazing staff led by Master Apelli. And I always say Apelli takes them to heaven every morning because he's such a worshipper.
Yes.
And in the worship, they just touch God. And so he always instills in them. And one of our favourite songs, I would say it's NCTC theme song, is Nothing is impossible, you
Absolutely.
Know, and we sing it over and over again, and it's become an anthem
so good.
For us.
So good.
And Apelli will say, if you want to be a doctor, you can. If you want to be a politician, you can.
Yes.
If you want to be Prime Minister of Fiji, you can.
And awesome?
So I'm expecting some Prime Ministers of Fiji to come from
so
the Northern Christian Training Center.
Yeah. And the children are declaring they're going to be those things,
aren't
they?
We ask them all to write down what they want to be. There's not a cane cutter or a fisherman amongst them anymore.
Wow.
There is things like doctor, lawyer, nurse, teacher, all of those sort of professional jobs.
Wow.
And I just thank God because only God can do that.
Yes.
And when I was amazed, when the children first came, their heads were down, they walked. Because many of them, when we started, 70% of the children didn't have fathers. And in Fiji culture, that's a terrible thing.
Mm.
Because your identity is very much through the land, through your father, wow, your identity. So many of them were like in shame, and now they march in like they own the place, which they do. Wow. It's such a change. And I've had so many reports of people that their children have been in the school, they've left, and they've just come back and said, oh, wow, our children were 3 years in advance of the schools that we've gone back to. I've got one email just 2 days ago, and it was a magistrate sending his children to the poorest of the poor because he heard our school was the best in the area.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he sent an email saying, thank you very much. I'm about to ask if I can support one of the children because my children are 3 years in advance of the public system. Wow. And that's a God thing.
That's what God can do.
That's what God can do.
Yeah. Amen.
And how many kids would there be at the moment in the schools?
There's around 100 children in our school. So we will increase. We're drawing up plans now.
Yep.
We'll go up to maybe about 500 in the future. Mm. But at the moment, we're just drawing up the plans and preparing for the, what we will do.
Yeah.
So, Marian, how do you fund all this? Pennies don't usually drop from heaven.
That's a good question.
But for God. I've just been spending the last 2 months travelling around the South Island, and I just thank God for the Kiwi connection that came through Jenny Davison from Ashburton and Joe Miller from Christchurch initially. And I've been speaking in churches every week and during the week as well. And, if anyone's out there and you want the most incredible project on the planet, there's details coming, but this has transformed communities, not just individuals. You may support or sponsor one person, one child, but you're going to change a community. And the overflow of that is 22,000 islands in the South Seas. It's a great project to get around and to be part of. And we can all bring our sheaves together in this, because when people partner with us, they're partnering with Kingdom Business.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
You know, I'm going back really fired up. I've been to Harvest Now. Would recommend it to anyone out there to go to. And I'm really fired up because I'm really fed up of the enemy just hoodwinking the beautiful people of the South Seas. We're going to see a move of God coming. So,
So on the screen is the other details that you could donate to Northern Christian Training Centre in Fiji. Marian is open to children being sponsored for $52 a month. Is that right, Marian?
Yes, that's correct.
And it can go into that bank account on the screen. We'll leave it up there for the rest of our interview here. But also tell us about partnership for different projects and different commitments, Marian.
Well, we're really open to churches partnering with us or individuals. We not only are looking for sponsors, because sponsorship is wonderful. You get to follow the progress of a child. But we have many, many other expenses, power bills, water bills, maintenance, building programs, all sorts of things. Now, if people want to do it on a regular basis, this is the account to put it in. Just, general expenses you could put on it if you wanted to go to that. Or churches, if they want to get involved. We've got many churches. I personally will take responsibility for credibility of our organisation. Every cent is accounted for. Every cent is, you see where it goes in and you see where it goes out. It's used very well. In fact, I would say no one can stretch a dollar like I can. I have a PhD in stretching a dollar
That's one of the things I love about you, and I love the integrity of your ministry, and that every cent does go to whatever it's designed for. and it doesn't go on administration. It doesn't go on your wages or your support.
I don't even get paid from NCTC.
It goes directly. So we would encourage anyone anywhere to partner with Northern Christian Training Centre to sponsor a child for $52 a month, New Zealand, or to do some other sort of partnership. And if you need partnership details, can it be got through Living Waters Christian Centre? And details will be on the Facebook page.
If anybody is interested in sponsorship and wants details, you can actually send an email to nctcfiji@gmail.com. It's very easy. nctc@gmail.com for any information as well.
So you've established some pretty amazing things. You've had to become like a project manager, really. So you've established buildings where there was no buildings, and it's not just like in town here where, you know, there's processes to follow. You've really had to follow God all the way through, and those buildings have been established really through you hearing from God and through your faith. So along the way, there must have been moments when you really have, you know, there's great support for your ministry by the sound of it, but there must have been times when you've literally had nowhere to go, no one to turn to except for Him, and He's come through for you. Could you tell us some stories that are going to inspire us about, like, you've seen God move on your behalf when it was literally impossible for help to come?
Yeah, it's been many. How many weeks have we got? it's just been an amazing journey. We started, I remember bringing one of my close friends from Australia to see our property, and we have just under 40 acres of land. Wow. We got it in four lots from the top of the ridge all the way down to the main road. Absolutely impossible to do in Fiji. It's native land that's got 99-year lease. One of the moments that come to mind as Craig asked the question was in the coups. I've lived through 4.5 coups.
4.5
in Fiji. Only Fiji can have half coups. And it's just been quite amazing. I remember in the year 2000, my embassy rang up. Australian embassy rang up and said, "We recommend you leave." And I'm not criticising anyone, but everyone left. But I felt in my heart I couldn't, because I thought, Lord, what sort of preacher would I be? Here I am. I've been here for 20 years, been preaching that God will provide. God is with us. God will never leave us. Then I get on the first plane out. So I stood before God.
That's faith.
I stood before God and I said, Lord, if I had to die for these people, would I? And the answer was yes. Wow. I took it very seriously. And it was very easy after that, because I'd made my choice. And my father and mother rang me and said, "You've got to get out now." And I spoke to my father and I said, "Dad, I want this on record. I have made a choice, only myself, to stay. No one else. Wow. If anything happens, it's my choice. It wasn't anyone else's doing."
Wow.
And all the white people left, just myself, and there was a manager of the sugar corporation. He stayed. So, and it was a bit scary because there were M16s going off quite a lot. Wow. The lads broke into the armory. There was a whole 6-week period. The rebels broke into the armory with machine guns, and they went to the police station, who had I'm a farm girl, so, you know, a 22 bolt action 22 rifle. They threw that in the air and ran for the hills. And so there was 6 weeks where there was no military and no police at all. And it was a bit... Well, it was dangerous, really, because, but God's there, you know. He never leaves us. I remember one night waking up, and I know someone was outside. I stayed by myself in my own house all the way through this. And I started to pray, and I just, you know, said, "Lord, whoever's out there, get rid of them." So I don't know if he had a big angel say, "Excuse me, what are you doing here? Out of here."
<Buzz off.
coughs> But over the years, I've had, since 90, 1994, I built my own house in Fiji, and I've had three occasions where people have broken into my house, but they've only got to the wire. They break the wire to break in, then nothing happens.
Wow.
I think I've got several very large angels with maybe a sword and a mean look on their face looking after me.
I think you might be right.
And in hurricanes, look, hurricane after hurricane has happened. And I remember in Hurricane Amy, there's been so many, watching my back wall go like this.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was watching it. And it went very quiet and very still, and the direction turned dramatically, and I knew we're in the eye of the storm.
That's right.
And I have huge trees at the back of my house, pine trees, my neighbour has, and by rights, the wind was coming straight like this. Those big trees should have fell straight on my house and destroyed it.
Wow.
And that night, the wind came at such a gusting force, and those trees went that way. They fell, but that way, not that way.
Wow. Wow,
and everyone that saw it said, oh, my goodness. I said, angels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah. I actually have had visitation of angels several times. It's, when I say angels, I'm not, some cliche, Christian cliche. I'm saying, yeah, angels.
Wow, Marian.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. So, I think on Facebook every now and then we see posts from you and just little wee messages, and so you've even had situations where the cyclones have been coming towards Fiji, you've seen them move. You've declared, you've prayed, people have prayed, and you've seen them move. So you've had had when they've come and when they've moved away as well. But you've been through both of those circumstances, and God was still there in
That's
the midst
right.
of both of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful. All of us believe in God's power. But there are times when our power will be tested. I mean, there will be times when our faith will be tested.
Yeah.
And but I must say, for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been quite amazing. See, we had Hurricane Winston that wiped out 43% of Fiji. That's a lot of Fiji gone. And that economically, now it's just across the island from us where a rare, very large damage was caused.
Yeah.
So I sent Apelli, our head teacher, around to all of our families. I said, Apelli, find out how we're going. Because a lot of our children are very poor families. If their cassava crop is wiped out, they don't eat. So he came back and he said, Marian, not one child has lost cassava. Not one child's house is destroyed.
Wow.
Now, we're talking 325 kilometre winds across the island from us. That's 86 kilometres away. That's not far.
Yeah.
And I know it's that figure because one of the resort's managers told me they measured it. And there were two 10-metre tidal waves that followed that and wiped out big coastal areas. I actually went over and we helped collect money to rebuild. But on our children, not 1 cent was needed. I didn't have to collect 1 cent for our kids.
Wow.
And I tell you, I have seen the provision of God.
Yeah.
And the map of Fiji is like this. And I have seen again and again the track of the cyclone straight for Lombasa, and it goes.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness, the power
and
of prayer.
You can have a look on the tracking, and that's been for the last 5 years it's done that.
Praise God.
And all I can say is God's recruited a few more angels, and they're out there, and they're
pushing
standing there, and they're just pushing it back because that's supernatural.
Yeah. So what? At the moment, we've obviously got some pretty different circumstances for us than we've been in before, and there'll be a lot of people who are, a wee bit apprehensive about how we're going to be for the next few weeks, months, or whatever it is. So what would you say to someone who is feeling that uncertainty? You know, there's circumstances around them that really are out of their control, and they're living with that uncertainty. How do they direct that to God, and how do they stand in the middle of that? Because you've got good experience in that.
Well, I just know God is faithful. He's faithful for 1,000 generations.
Yes.
And, you know, I used to love that song when I was young. Put your hand in the hand of a man who stilled the waters.
Yep. Yes.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. And to me, that really is the secret. Keep your hand in God's hand.
Yes.
And when the storm comes harder, squeeze that hand a bit harder and keep trusting Him.
That's good.
Because God is faithful. He's on our team. He's not out there wanting His children to perish. He's there. And I think there's going to be supernatural provisions.
Yep.
You know, I guess where I live, you see it more because I've had to see it. And the church in the West has missed out many times in knowing God as their provider because they've had good bank accounts, they've had good jobs.
That's true.
But now we're going to experience God as our provider.
That's right. Yeah.
In the midst of the storm, He's going to be there. And I don't think, you know, He said He'll never let His children beg for bread.
Yeah.
And I really hold on to that because God is faithful.
Yes.
And He will never, ever let His kids down.
He is faithful.
Yeah. So, can you tell us a real rubber meets the road story of when there literally was nothing and you're sort of waiting around going, God, where are you? And what happened? A real miraculous.
Oh, where do I start?
Yeah.
Even when we started NCTC, I had this incredible vision from God that this training centre is going to impact the South Pacific. We had no money. We had nothing. But this crazy vision wasn't crazy. It was so crazy it had to be God.
Yeah.
And I saw God just unbelievable things happen. A guy came up to me and said God had spoken to him 20 years ago. He had the right to... we have leased land in Fiji. Only 3% is freehold. The rest is virtually lease. So... he said that he could have leased this land. And he said, no, I'm not going to lease it because God spoke to me to give it to a Bible school. So he gave it to us.
Wow, that's cool. 20 years
and
ago.
20 years.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yep.
And then, you know, to get land in Fiji, anyone that knows Fiji knows it's very impossible. And we're on our fourth lot that we've got.
Wow, awesome.
And I'll just tell you one story. This is quite cute. I've got a million stories here, but... we bought this land. We got this other piece of land. And we did a deal with our landowner that we would give... there was a program going with the government, two-thirds, one-third. You had to give money one-third and the government would give two-thirds to build a house on your property. So by the time we got the land, the landowner agreed to that. By the time we got the land, the government had finished this project. Now, on this land, there's a house. And God just put this thing in my head. Tell the landowner, we'll take the house that's on the property and shift it wherever he likes, and we'll put toilets, bathroom, everything there. And the Native Land Trust Board that administer the land said, he'll never agree. I said, you go now and ask him. Came back and said, yeah, I'll agree to that. So we got the land for the cost of the house that was already on the land.
Wow.
And it was supernatural provision.
God.
Because it was owned by an old lady. And this old lady, I said to the Native Land people, don't kick her off that land. So 2 days before we took over the land, she died. And that house didn't belong to anybody.
Wow, amazing.
So we didn't do anything with not integrity either. So we transported, and I've got some crazy Kiwi mates. Joseph Builders, anyone in Mount Somers area, you've got to get a hold of these guys.
Oh,
they're the best builders on the planet.
Yes.
So Richard Joseph came over with Niram and a few of his mates. Kiwi ingenuity. We had an old, we still got it, 74 three-ton Mazda truck. So we had this house, you see. So the boys cut it in half. I borrowed blocks from the local sawmill for nothing, and we blocked it up and kept jacking it up, blocking it up, then drove the truck under it. So you've got half a house on a very old truck going like this, you know, and we drove it all the way down, and Richard's holding up the traffic. We didn't have a permit. Holding up the traffic, stop, stop, and the boys have got the bamboo lifting up all the cords, the wires of all the, you know, place. We go all the way down and we put it in the position that the chief wanted.
Wow.
And God, supernatural ideas, because, amazing. You know, only God can do that.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's amazing.
Wow. That's pretty cool. What about one last story? Like when there's you've really needed money and there literally was no money around and God's come through.
Okay. God can do anything.
God can do anything.
Okay, this is money. Money comes. Now, I think I've shared this before with Living Waters, but one of our trustees, he got a big lot of money given to him over in Australia. He came over to Fiji. Then Fiji changed the rules and he was charged $500,000. Which crazy, crazy thing. Interest. So it was a very unjust thing because he paid big tax in Australia, got to Fiji, because of the rules changed, they wanted him to pay again, which he never expected. So I had a friend in taxation. I said to him, can you help? He helped. He worked very hard. And I said, Joe, when you come over to Lombasa, I'm getting the biggest crab and the biggest lobster I can find, and I'm going to give you a great meal, because he's a big Fijian and he loves his seafood. And him and his wife have been great friends for me, and he had to come to Lombasa many times. So I get a call. I'm in Lombasa. In other words, feed me tonight. Now, yeah. I said, great, Joe. What time will I pick you up? 6 o'clock. Righto. I got no money, you see. I'm dead broke. And I mean, we've run the training centre. Usually our budget has been zero and our bank account's been zero, but we've built probably about 15 different buildings on the property. It's just, so I am now in a position, and my word is very, very important for me to keep my word. It's something that I've seen so many people not do in Fiji, and I've really tried hard. And I think I never break my word. So I'm in a position. So I go down to the post office. There's no money. I think, oh, no. I thought maybe someone's put a check in. They've never done it before like that, but maybe. Then I went home. I went to our trustee's place, gave him something for our school, and came home. Now, I had pulled my wallet apart maybe 50 times looking for money, every part. I'd looked everywhere. Back of couches everywhere. I had a handful of coins that would do nothing. I had enough vegetables to feed him that way, but I couldn't. No crab or lobster money. So yeah. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So I get home and I go to put something in my wallet, and there is $7. I'm thinking, right, where where your notes go. And I'm looking at it thinking, what? I pulled that apart 50 times. So I rang up Don, the guy, the trustee, and I said, Don, did you happen to touch my wallet or anything? And, you know, he's an old gentleman. He won't, you know, he treats a woman's bag like leprosy. You know, he won't touch it. So yes, he said, no way, I won't touch a woman's bag. And I'm thinking, well, where does, you know, I'm trying to work out where the $7 come from, you know. So I pick up the $7. I go down to the fish shop and I look and I say, okay, that lobster, that crab, how much? And the guy says, $7. I would go, now, I ain't got enough for a claw, let alone a lobster and a crab.
How much should it have been?
About
$30.
$50.
Or more? 50.
Wow.
And I'm holding that $7 in my hot little hand, and I realise God put that money in.
Wow.
And he did a double whammy. Just because he can.
Yes.
He not only did he put not enough, knowing I knew it wasn't enough for a crab and a lobster, but also he touched the guy selling it.
Yes.
Because I think that guy's in bed at night even now thinking, did I give that? Did I give that for that
what
price?
What did I do?
I don't even buy it for that price. Just because, you know,
he
why?
Loves you.
Because he knows, to me, keeping my word is more important to me than anything.
Yeah, that's good.
And I had promised this man I would feed him. And so God just came up with the stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I told Joe about a few years after, that was a few years ago now, and he couldn't believe it when I told the story.
That's a God story.
So anyone that's worrying at the moment, you know, when they look into the next few weeks, whatever it is, your testimony will be that God is good. He provides. Yeah, it's so encouraging, eh?
You just got to believe, too.
Faithful God, eh?
I think in this time, just really reach out and let your faith soar.
Yes.
You know, don't watch TV too much either. You know, I was watching it and fear. You know,
absolutely.
It's just, you know, well, God has given us not the spirit of fear,
but
peace, love and a sound mind. So we can go beyond that. Yep, we don't need to be like the rest of the world. We are the hope for the people that are in fear. So I think this is our finest hour.
Yeah.
We've got a great opportunity
absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely, we believe that too.
Yeah. And I've just heard stories of people just being able to share their faith so naturally to people where they maybe might not have otherwise. So I think it really is a season. We've just got to stretch out and just give it a go. Give it a go. So, hey, Maren, honestly, we could probably talk all night about the stories.
Yes, we could.
That'd be a lot of fun to do that.
So many.
But you'll probably have to draw it to a bit of a close there.
So as we close tonight, we wouldn't be doing the right thing if we didn't speak to you, wherever you are on your screen, and invite you to get to know the God that Marion's talking about.
That's right, yeah.
The God that's faithful, the God that supplies, the God that brings peace in a storm.
Awesome.
And if you are in a storm, if you have something deep inside of your heart where you just want to know this God that Marion has shared about tonight, to know him is through Jesus Christ. And you can tonight, without charge, without having a big education, absolutely free, come to know the God who is faithful, the God who will forgive every one of your sins, the God who will give you the assurance that when your day comes that you die, whether it be tonight, and it may be tonight, or any time in the distant future, that you will be his child and you'll go to heaven.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to pray a prayer and invite you to join with me tonight and pray that prayer. And this is a prayer asking God to be your Lord, Jesus to be your Savior, because he died on a cross for you, for me, for all of us, that we would come to know God as our Father.
That's great, Colleen.
So bow your head, if you wish, and pray after me. Lord, I've heard about a God tonight who is faithful. Jesus, even though I don't know much about you or who you are, you did die on a cross, and that was for my sin, and that was so I can come to know God, my Father. And I accept you, Lord, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I ask you to teach me more about you, and for me to know what it is to become your child. I give my life to you, and I commit all that I am into your hands. Faithful God. Amen.
Greg. Awesome. Hey, and if that's a prayer that you prayed tonight, maybe just get in touch with just put something on the Facebook comments, and just so we can get in touch with you and really just help you really really get grounded in that decision to walk with God, because it's a pretty major thing. It's so good. And Marion, would you be able to just pray for anyone tonight? Just pray a blessing over us. Just impart a blessing to us as we sort of go into these next few weeks, and just impart a bit of faith, because you've got such a strong faith there, and I think we'd just love it if you could do that.
Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you are the one that stands with us in the midst of the storm, and you know each one that's out there that every circumstance, the ones that are worried about their jobs, the ones that are worried about their children or their elderly in their family. Lord, I just pray peace upon them right now. Lord, that they will look to you in everything that they're concerned about. And Lord, I just pray also, Lord, that in the midst of the storm, that you will become so real to them, that they will know you as the God that is Jehovah Jireh, their provider. Lord, that nothing that we can ever lack, because Lord, you are with us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I just pray that faith, Lord, I would even impart faith unto the hearers tonight. Lord, that as they've listened and to other broadcasts as well, let faith arise beyond their circumstance, faith far higher than any circumstance, Lord, that they will be overcomers, that they will have such a powerful testimony that Jehovah Jireh has been with me through all of this, and they will know him in a way that they've never known him before, because you are a faithful and true God that never, ever lets his people down. And we just thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. That's good. That's great.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks so much, Aaron. It's been amazing to hear your stories. I know it's a few of them, but it's good to hear those stories. And Colleen, been good fun doing that tonight.
That was awesome. Aaron, you better write that book.
I reckon a book would be fantastic. It's probably more than enough stories for a book.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you.
So you guys have a great week. Look after each other. Look out for everyone around you. Speak words of positivity. Just keep your eyes on the Lord, and we're going to get through this together. Awesome.
Amen.
Great.
Hallelujah.